Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
Welcome to Burden and Blessing Podcast. My name is Pastor Neil Radical. Joining me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew for a very special Reformation podcast, but it's actually a Bible study overview of the prophet Isaiah. We just happened to plant this on the same day, and it works out really well because, Nathaniel, I believe that there's a lot of things that we can learn from Isaiah as we do this overview that does fit with Reformation, so I hope you're game with doing that.
Oh, absolutely. You think of Reformation in 1517, but boy, the Lord has been constantly reforming his church since the very beginning, and Isaiah would be a really good example of that.
Awesome. Well, let's start with that right away. As far as Isaiah goes, can you give us a little bit of a background as far as timeline, when the history is here, when it goes to who Isaiah is, where he is taking place in the history of the world?
Absolutely. So Isaiah would have been a contemporary of a couple of other prophets. We're probably pretty familiar with Micah, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, some of the messianic prophecies that we hear about at Easter time. So Micah would have been a prophet at about the same time as Isaiah. They were sent to the southern kingdom of Judah. So they would have been sent there. At the same time, in the northern kingdom of Israel, you would have had Hosea and Amos, who we've talked about. And actually, Jonah would have been about the same time, too, but he would have been sent to Assyria and Nineveh. So this is actually one of those periods of history right in the middle of the southern kingdom. But it's right as the northern kingdom was coming to end. And that's one of the things that's really important to understand about Isaiah. Assyria was coming down, and it was going to destroy the northern kingdom. And the people of Judah were seeing this taking place.
Particularly with Damascus, too. Damascus was wiped out. And the whole nation was pretty much obliterated, but you have them making an example out of Damascus in that region.
Correct, yeah. Syria was controlled by Assyria. So you've got Syria and Assyria. Syria to the north, Assyria to the northeast. And Assyria was that great power. It conquered Assyria, it conquered Israel, and people in Judah were saying, hey, they're going to conquer us too. And the Lord comes to Isaiah, and he says, no, I'm going to preserve you. And so you're going to see some interesting things during the ministry of Isaiah, and he probably had a 40-year ministry. So it was a fairly long period of time that he was ministering to the people of Judah. And he ministered under the reign of three good kings and one evil king. And it's probably, sadly, the one evil king that we know the best. It was King Ahaz. King Ahaz is the one to whom the Lord sent Isaiah to prophesy. And he says, you know, I'm going to protect Jerusalem and I'm going to protect Judah. And he was sent to the king, and Isaiah said, hey, ask for any sign that you want, and God will prove to you that he's going to protect you. And Ahaz, who's an unbelieving king, says, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. And the Lord...
I could care less.
Exactly. In essence, we think, well, that's pretty good. You know, the guy doesn't want a sign. He doesn't... No, it wasn't because he believed. It was because he didn't believe. And Isaiah says, well, the Lord's going to give you a sign anyway. And that's where that familiar, again, Christmas theme comes from. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that was to King Ahaz that the Lord, through Isaiah, gave that messianic prophecy as an assurance of his protection, his deliverance of his people. So a little bit of the background, historical background for Isaiah.
Well, the background fits with our timeline right now. We go from Reformation into Thanksgiving into Advent. We're looking into the coming birth of our Savior at the end of a church year here. And what's interesting is you talk about the signs that God gives to us. Isaiah really does bring a lot of powerful signs during this really lengthy prophetical ministry through all the different kings, like you mentioned, and the highs and lows of the ministry, things we can relate to there especially. So you started talking about some of the gems of Isaiah. So can you speak more specifically to, like, as you break down, how would you break down the whole book? How could Isaiah be own book, so to speak, separate from the rest of the Bible? Not that it is.
Right.
Not that it's part of the canonical book, but how could someone just say, whoa, all I really need is Isaiah?
Yeah, so Isaiah, there is this misconception that we run into from time to time as Christians, right? And that is that the Old Testament is full of law and the New Testament is full of gospel. And that, no, it's, you're right, it's not true. There is all kinds of beautiful gospel messages in the book of Isaiah, just like all the other prophets. Now, is there law? Absolutely. There's a lot of we're talking about Reformation here, right? There's a lot that the Lord said, we need to fix this. We need to change this. We need to correct what has fallen out of use that God desired for his Old Testament people. And Isaiah was there, along with some of the good kings, to try to reform the nation of Judah and bring them back to a true worship of the Lord. So backing up to your question, how could we take Isaiah and take a look at that? Well, one of the interesting features of Isaiah, now this is not inspired, but there is an interesting picture in the book of Isaiah when they put the numbers, the passages, the scripture verses and chapters into the book of Isaiah, it ends up with 66 chapters. And how many books of the Bible are there?
66.
So that's an interesting thing, right? A coincidence? Nah, that's not a coincidence. And you know that it's not a coincidence when you break it down even more, because there's a first part of the book of Isaiah, and everybody recognizes there's a distinct break in the book of Isaiah, and it's right at chapter 39. How many books are there in the Old Testament?
39.
27 in the New Testament. The next 27 chapters from chapter 40 through chapter 66, that is another distinct section. In fact, it's so distinct that there are some people who have thought there were two different writers for the book of Isaiah.
Right.
Now, we can see the parallels and the connections and the fact that this is one writer, but there's a distinctly different message in those two sections. So you get a lot of messianic prophecies in the early part, and we already talked about chapter 7, verse 14. In chapter 9, you get the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that's so familiar from Christmas. The stem of Jesse in chapter 11. So you get a lot of these messianic prophecies early on. Then you get into chapter 40, and you get into what's called the servant songs. As Isaiah starts to build and really describe what the servant of the Lord, that is the Messiah, Jesus, was going to do. And there are some beautiful, beautiful sections, not so much Christmas related. Some of them are. There's some Advent texts in there, but a lot of them develop into Lent.
They're Redeemer related. You know, what's interesting to me is that, and I'm still trying to get at grips of everything that the Lord says through Isaiah, there's so much there. You know, the end of that first section that you're talking about, you know, the last few chapters there, focus a lot on King Hezekiah, who was a huge reformer. You know, speaking of the Reformation, like the book hinges on King Hezekiah and his reformation of Israel. And it's interesting, from there, it goes into chapter 40, like you said, and where you expect, like in the Bible, to see the Gospel of Matthew. You know, that starts off by saying, comfort, comfort ye my people, you know, and speaking about a spiritual comfort, a spiritual restoration, a spiritual reformation among the people then and the people throughout the entire world because of that promised Messiah that you mentioned.
Yeah, and just building on that comment that you had with, you mentioned Hezekiah. Hezekiah is one of those very familiar kings of the Old Testament. I mean, if people are going to know certain kings of the Old Testament in Judah, Hezekiah is probably at the top of that list.
Yeah, he's a good one to know.
Yep. He's a good one to know. So Isaiah's ministry came to an end during the reign of King Hezekiah. So just to give people a little bit of an idea here, Isaiah's ministry began with the reign of Uzziah at the very end, and he was a good king. He had a son who was a good king. His name was Jotham, and he ministered all during the reign of Jotham. And then Jotham's son Ahaz took the throne, and he was a bad king.
Yeah, that's probably putting it lightly.
Yeah, that's right. Then his son was Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was again a good king. And Hezekiah tried to change. He tried to reform, like you said, all of the things that his father had done away with as far as the true worship in Judah. And so there is a lot that many of the prophecies that are found in the book of Isaiah do deal with the ministry and the leadership, the reign of King Hezekiah, because it was during the reign of Hezekiah that Israel was destroyed. So that was that really tumultuous period where people were thinking, are we going to be destroyed because of the bad things that King Ahaz did? Is this going to be when it's all going to come to an end? And the Lord prophesies through Isaiah, no, I will preserve you. I'm going to deliver you. You have the 100,000 men of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, that come and surround Jerusalem, and everybody's worried and shaking in their boots. And the Lord's, Isaiah's not worried. And he says, the Lord's going to deliver us. And one angel destroys, wipes out the army of Sennacherib. And Sennacherib has to return home with his tail between his legs because of what the Lord had done to him. So that's part of this history right here.
And it ends up being murdered by his sons.
He does, yeah. Once he gets back to Assyria, he loses his throne and his sons take over.
Reminds me of Psalm 1, where he talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, and talking about that tree planted by the rivers. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what's interesting as we continue on with Isaiah then, how does this compare? You had this tiny nation like you were mentioning, and against this world power. Now, with the reforms and reformation that Hezekiah was trying to bring about, how would you compare that to Luther and this tiny group of individuals that were getting to understand the truth of God's word and then the mighty empire and church in those days?
It's a beautiful parallel. You think about what Luther said. Luther said that one peasant armed with the word of God is stronger than any pope without it. What's the difference? It doesn't matter how great, how powerful, humanly speaking, the enemy is. With God on our side, there's nothing that can defeat us. Or you think about the words of the Apostle Paul. If God is for us, who can be against us? What's the deal? What's the problem? What's the fear? And we see that in the Reformation of Luther. We see that in the Reformation of Isaiah. Isaiah wasn't worried in the sense that he was afraid that that Sennacherib and his army was going to defeat Judah. He knew that he was in the Lord's hands, and there's no better place to be than in the Lord's hands.
Yeah, it's almost like Hezekiah was like that Duke Frederick,
yeah.
You know, the Frederick the Wise, uh-huh. and Isaiah is similar to Luther, just Isaiah saying, nope, trust in the Lord, everything's going to be okay. And Hezekiah wisely listened to that instruction, much like the Duke wisely listened to Luther's instruction, like, hey, they could even put us to death and we're still going to be okay. You know, and that whole idea of standing for God being the defense. You know, that it's interesting, I'm preaching on Psalm 46 this weekend, God is our refuge and strength, and it talks about the idea of besiegement there. And I like that idea in both Isaiah, what we're talking about, because like you said, the Assyrians had come to besiege Jerusalem and they surrounded it completely. Just like you said, all hope was lost. And we see that same kind of besiegement going on in the church in Luther's day. Not that Luther was being besieged, but God's word had been surrounded, and like the word was not going out in its truth and purity. It's almost like, I mean, what the waters were stopped in Jerusalem so that, you know what I mean? So it's like it was being contained. And Luther and the other reformers in those days sought to break free that life-giving water so that God's word would be able to run swiftly and prevail.
Yeah. There are so many reformations throughout the history of the world. And here's, I think, the point when we think about Reformation. So often when we talk about Reformation on October 31st or at this time of the year, we think about Martin Luther and what God did through Martin Luther. And we fail to realize that was just one more point in history where God has done the same thing over and over again. And what about today? What about today? Isn't that Reformation an ongoing need because we live in a world of sin, isn't it? And just how the Lord raised up people like Hezekiah and Isaiah or Frederick the Wise and Luther or those that followed them, the Lord uses people like you and me and the people that are listening to this podcast. And he says, I want to use you to bring change to the church where the church has failed to do what I have called it to do, and to take my word out into the world to proclaim it faithfully.
Regardless of how they respond to it.
Correct.
Because we just did a podcast on Jeremiah not too long ago and how they react to Jeremiah's message.
Right. They didn't like it. But he didn't say, hey, I guess I'm not going to share that today. Right? He didn't back down. He didn't say, well, you know, it's not going to be received very well, so I'll just keep my mouth shut today.
Certainly not politically correct.
No, no. The truth is never politically correct, is it? Ever. No. Ever.
So Isaiah's name means salvation is of the Lord. How is that fitting for the overall picture of Isaiah? Even though we have a lot of kings here, how is that fitting for as we celebrate another reformation that God has provided for us, that we continue to pray that he will? Isaiah means salvation is of the Lord.
Isaiah is often called the fifth evangelist. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah. And people say, wait a second. Isaiah lived 700 years before the time of Jesus. How can he be an evangelist? What is an evangelist? An evangelist is one who preaches the good news of salvation. And that's exactly what the Lord did through Isaiah. He emphasized a message that salvation comes only from the Lord. And that really gets us into those servant songs in chapters 40 to 66 that culminate in chapter 53. In chapter 53, we find what that servant would do. You know, it's one thing to hear that we've got a servant. And it's wonderful to know Jesus is our servant. He's coming to serve us. Mark really brings that gospel out. He says, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. But Isaiah really, really brings that out and taking it to the next level, saying, what would Jesus do as our servant? He would give his life into death. He would be stricken, smitten, afflicted by God. That's what Jesus did for us. And there's where that salvation is from the Lord theme comes out in the book of Isaiah as he directs us to that work of salvation at the cross of Christ. You won't find the word cross in Isaiah 53, but it will say that he was numbered with the transgressors.
Yeah.
That his, you know, you have examples in Psalm 22 of his hands and feet being pierced. So it's pictured throughout the Old Testament, the crucifixion.
So I think you beautifully highlighted what that name of Isaiah means for the book itself. But like you said, with the fifth evangelist, we really have that theme, salvation is of the Lord. That's one of the reasons why I'm so appreciative of the Reformation at that time of Luther, because in those days, that name, that message itself was obscured.
Right.
Who is salvation of? Is it of me? Is it of the saints? Is it of the Pope, by our definition of those things? Where does salvation come from? And the specific gospel, the grace of God, shows that it doesn't come from us or from our works, but it comes from specifically the Lord.
Yeah.
And that was Isaiah's message. That's what you're highlighting so well in Isaiah 53. That was Luther's message, and that should be our message today, which is right. Why I love your point about saying reformations are continually going on, and we want to be a part of them, sharing that gospel and that good news of how God is our refuge and strength. That he is the one who's reformed our hearts, and he's the one who's going to defend us, and we don't have to be afraid of any world powers, being politically correct, any of those things. Always point us back to the peace that we have in the God who commands us to be still. Know that he's God, just like he did for Hezekiah, just like he did for Isaiah, just like he did for Luther when he was tested with his own life as well. And he'll do the same for us. Who do we need to fear? God is with us. God of Jacob. Isaac and Abraham is with us.
Yeah, any true reformation starts and ends with salvation is of the Lord, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a reformation without that theme. And that was true of those that preceded Isaiah, those that followed Isaiah, and it's true still today. When that message of the gospel is obscured, when we are worshiping a false god or we're led away from who Christ is and that salvation comes from the Lord, then there is a need for a reformation. And that's what it boils down to.
One more question I want to ask you specifically on Isaiah. What very specific blessing did Isaiah receive from the Lord, which that he saw that gave him a very vivid understanding of the coming Messiah. What did Isaiah, I'm not asking the question very well, but what did Isaiah, what was he blessed with? What was he granted to give him that firm conviction that the Lord, that Christ was going to come, that he was real? What kind of visions had he seen?
Well, early on in the book of Isaiah, you have Isaiah 6 and the vision of the Lord in the temple. So this was at the very beginning of his call. And this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of what the Lord does for each one of us. But here's Isaiah. And so Isaiah wasn't a priest. He was just an everyday guy. But this vision that he has at the beginning of his ministry puts him inside, not just inside the temple, but inside the holy place, a place that only the high priest is supposed to go, and he's only supposed to be there on one day of the year. And when he sees himself in this place, he says, I'm not supposed to be here. This is not for me. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a people of unclean lips. He says, get me out of here. And the Lord sends an angel with tongs, which were in this holy place, with a live coal in his hand, and he puts it to Isaiah's lips, and he says, Isaiah, this has purified your lips, and now I send you out to a people to proclaim the salvation that I have accomplished and will accomplish through my son. You are cleansed. And then the Lord asks this question. He says, now all of this is taken care of. You know, you've been purified and all of this. He said, who's going to go for us? Who's going to go and do this? And Isaiah, now his attitude changes. He's no longer, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to do this kind of thing. He says, Lord, here am I. I'll go. Send me.
So the Lord, I want to be a part of this work. I want to be a part of this. What you've done.
So I don't know if that's what you were getting at, but that's where it begins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why, again, another interesting parallel that I don't think I've ever thought of before this day, between Isaiah and that vision. Now, I don't believe Luther had a vision like Isaiah did. We're not retold that at all. But what's interesting is how the Lord purified Luther's thought and his message of what the gospel is and looks like. And Luther showed quite a bit of timidness early on, right, like Isaiah, and yet it was the word of God that convicted him, that set him on fire, so to speak, to go and share the truth of what God, to be a part of what God wanted him to do. And again, I think there's a lot of good applications there for us too. As we study God's holy word, he cleanses our thought, our understanding, our appreciation for the word of God and the gospel. And then the Lord asks, after he's done that, who's going to go for me? You know, and so we can say the same thing here, and that's why we sing it in our hymn, you know, here am I, send me. And so there's that wonderful blend between Reformation and mission work, evangelism, sharing the gospel, really fitting with Reformation, because when, like you said before, when God brings a reformation of the heart, he's done that for a purpose to share, a purpose to send. And, you know, I think the same thing is true of the physical reformation the Lord brought in Hezekiah's day, a purpose to preserve, a purpose to protect, a purpose to send a message to the surrounding nations of how powerful and how wonderfully loving our Father in heaven is, and the compassion that he has for his people, not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually, because you can't come away from Isaiah thinking we just have a powerful God. We come away from Isaiah thinking we have a God of redemption, from sins, from death itself, for eternal life, for deliverance. Salvation is of the Lord for eternal life. And I think that's the message that plays through Isaiah, plays throughout the history of the world, through Luther and through us today. It's a wonderfully glorious message.
You know, like Isaiah, who is exposed to the word, the Lord comes to him and gives him his word, purifies him, cleanses him, sets him out. The same thing did happen with Luther. Not, you know, we think about that incident in Luther's life where he was in the storm and he says, I'll become a monk if you save my life. That really wasn't the changing point in Luther's life. The changing point in Luther's life is when he was studying Paul's letter to the Romans, and he comes across that passage that says, the just shall live by faith. That's not what the church was teaching at Luther's time. So what was it that lit a fire under Luther? It was his study of God's word and how God opened his eyes to the understanding of what salvation, as you mentioned, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation isn't of Martin Luther. Salvation isn't of Pope Leo X. No, salvation is of Jehovah, of the Lord. And there's an interesting connection between Isaiah and Luther. It was his study of Paul's letter to the Romans that opened Luther's eyes to the need for reformation. Guess what? Paul quotes from Isaiah more in his letter to the Romans than any other place in the New Testament. 21 times Paul refers to Isaiah. And those messages of Isaiah come out in his letter, and that was, again, part of what the Lord used to open the eyes of Luther to a new reformation that was needed in the 1500s, just like the Lord brought about a reformation in the 700s BC at the time of Isaiah. So an interesting connection there, too.
I love that. That's awesome. You know, one of the amazing things about doing this study is that, you know, as we're making these comparisons, which we had not planned to do before we started today, it's really interesting to see how the Lord shows his consistency. It's really true. The Lord does not change. And you can see how his purpose, you know, when we were talking about Jeremiah, I'm sure that was something that Jeremiah wrestled with. And even Isaiah, as they're being besieged. And, you know, he had that confidence, like you said, but that whole idea of, okay, am I going to cling to God's promises or not? You know, Isaiah did that. You know, Luther did that, sometimes very untactfully. And, you know, but he made a point, too. You know, and that's the same thing that we want to try to remember to do also, is that we're going to cling to the Word. The Word is what purifies us, and the Word is what saved us. And that's why we want to continue to share that pure message of Christ, of him crucified, of his salvation that comes only from the Lord, like you said. And so I think as we celebrate the Reformation, we really celebrate more than just that one historical event just over 500 years ago. We celebrate a daily event that the Lord does in ways that we can't even possibly fathom through the preaching and teaching of his word, which, hear my Lord, I'm glad to be a part of it. And everyone who is listening is also a part of it too, as they rejoice in what great things the Lord has done for them.
Yeah. Isaiah is 66 chapters long. It's a little different than Jeremiah in that it's not as historical, so it's not quite as confusing. And there's going to be a lot more familiar sections in Isaiah for the person who's reading through it too. To me, it's one of my favorite sections to read through. And so for our listeners today, I would encourage you to pick up the book of Isaiah and read through those 66 chapters and do think about it in light of Reformation. Look for those ways in which the Lord brought Reformation about through Hezekiah, through Uzziah, through Joshua, through Isaiah.
Picture what they were facing as a nation.
Yeah.
You know, and you can really find yourself right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And probably don't do what I did the other day and try to read through the whole thing at once, which is possible.
It is.
If you sit down long enough. But there's so many gems in there that's easily skimmed over. If you don't pause and stop and think about them and try to compare them in the light of the rest of Scripture, you can easily miss out on those. So I thank you for the opportunity today as we rejoice in these reformations that the Lord brings to us and brought to our heart. And I appreciate your historical knowledge that you have, Nathaniel, and bringing that to light. And I just really enjoy doing these with you, especially with Isaiah. So hopefully the Lord has blessed all those who had a chance to listen to this today. Hopefully everyone's blessing the Lord, blessed through the celebration of the Reformation, and that the Lord will continue to do that for their hearts every single day until he comes again, call us home. So thank you for your time, Nathaniel. Thank you, all of you, and the Lord be with you. Be sure to tune in to us next time.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that he will always be with you, even to the end of the world.